Hello, and welcome to this lyric commentary. My name is Wynne Delacoma. I'm a freelance arts writer and former music critic for the Chicago Sun-Times. It's my great pleasure to be speaking with you about Jake Hagee's opera, Dead Man Walking. Lyrics commentaries are made possible through the generous support of the Patrick G. and Shirley Welsh Ryan Foundation in memory of their parents. Dead Man Walking is a relatively new opera. It had its premiere in fall 2000 at the San Francisco Opera. These performances mark its lyric opera premiere. But you probably recognize the title and know the basic plot. Jake Hagee's opera was inspired by a best-selling nonfiction book published in 1993. It was written by Sister Helen Prejean, a Catholic nun fighting to abolish the death penalty. The book inspired a highly acclaimed 1995 motion picture of the same name. The movie, directed by Tim Robbins, starred Sean Penn as a convicted murderer on death row in Louisiana. Susan Sarandon won an Oscar for her portrayal of Sister Helen. There's no doubt that the convict is guilty and deserves to be locked up, but she considers the death penalty to be immoral. Let's face it, this topic is grim. But this is opera. Monteverdi's Orfeo fails to bring his beloved Eurydice back from Hades. Richard Strauss's Salome demands the head of John the Baptist, and she gets it. Happy endings, in case you're wondering, are not prerequisites in opera. The opera Dead Man Walking is a gripping exploration of a painfully contemporary yet ages-old dilemma. Does killing a killer serve any purpose beyond revenge? Does it help a family heal after their beloved son or daughter, brother or sister has been terrorized and murdered? Does it scare would-be murderers straight? Can a criminal repent and truly be forgiven for heinous crimes? Are redemption and forgiveness beyond the grasp of human beings? Or are these matters best left to the Lord? Dead Man Walking is powerful because it offers no easy answers to these wrenching questions. Hagee's music is essentially lyrical, full of gently curving conversational lines. The libretto, by esteemed playwright Terence McNally, is plain-spoken, sometimes witty, sometimes brutal. The words and the music combine to give us powerful portraits of human beings caught in a nightmare. The action is set in a real-life place, the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. With a capacity of 6,000, it's the largest maximum security prison in the U.S. The murderer, Joseph de Rocher, is a composite of two convicts in Sister Helen's book. Young and cocky, he won't admit his crime, but he's convinced he is bad to the bone, beyond redemption, headed for hell. Nevertheless, Joseph is searching for something that was always missing from his hardscrabble life. He and Sister Helen started out as pen pals. As they ultimately become friends, he fumbles toward taking responsibility for his crimes. Now let's listen to some music from Dead Man Walking. All of our excerpts are taken from a Houston Grand Opera recording available on the Erato label. Sister Helen is driving to the prison for her first face-to-face meeting with Joseph de Rocher. Hagee introduces him with a little snippet of melody that reappears now and then throughout the opera. It's very short, only 5 notes long, 1 note for each syllable of his name, Joseph de Rocher. The melody starts with an optimistic leap, but it shifts to a minor key, then it falls back, weary and defeated, to its starting point. As Sister Helen drives, the name Joseph de Rocher floats through her mind. Here is mezzo-soprano Joyce DiDonato as Sister Helen.
Joseph de Rocher, 29, prison number 95281, Caucasian
man. Here's Joseph's theme later in the opera. When his appeal to the governor has failed, a guard and inmates taunt him as an all but dead man.
Joseph de Rocher is a dead man. Dead man walking,
dead man walking,
dead man walking.
Hege is a gifted songwriter. He first won fame for songs he composed for such stars as Frederica von Stade and Renee Fleming. Dead Man Walking has a number of eloquent arias, duets, and ensembles. Here's an aria for Joseph, sung by baritone Philip Cutlip. He's telling Sister Helen about his love for the ladies.
A warm night, a cold bottle of beer, down by the river with your woman. A little side boat drifting down from the roadhouse. You lay your head on her breasts, and she tells you.
Joseph's mother has had a hard life. She's weary and beaten down. But on a visit with her son in prison, she remembers him as a lively little boy. She's smiling at her little Joey splashing around in the water. Hege's melody caresses the ear like a lullaby. Frederica von Stade sings Mrs. de Rocher. Sister Helen's spiritual struggle is the unsettled and unsettling heart of the opera. It takes us deep into the most profound questions of sin, forgiveness, and redemption. She wrestles to find a way to bring comfort to both Joseph and the parents of the children he murdered. In the opera, Sister Helen is a young nun. She's in her 30s, lively and bright, with a quick sense of humor. She lives 300 miles from the prison in Angola in an urban housing project. There she helps run a daycare center for poor children. Sister Helen deplores Joseph's terrible crime, the senseless murder of two teenagers at a local lover's lane. But she sees him first as a human being. He is a child of God and therefore worthy of love, despite his crimes. She urges him to admit his guilt. Only by doing so, she believes, can he be redeemed. Redemption, she also believes, is something every child of God deserves. The bereaved parents do not agree. They see Sister Helen as their enemy. In a blistering ensemble, they demand answers. Why is she so concerned about him? What about them? What about their pain? Why didn't she reach out to them sooner? She doesn't know what it's like to lose a child. As they pour out their sorrow and rage, all Sister Helen can say is, "I'm sorry. You're right." In a wrenching sextet, the parents recall their final mundane words to the children they would never see again. "Fix your blouse. Comb your hair. Clean your room. Close the door."
Sorry, what it's like to bury a child and try to find comfort anywhere.
An empty chair at the table.
His jacket on a hook.
Your last words.
Fix your blouse.
Comb your hair.
Do your homework.
Shut the door.
Take your key.
It's hard to find.
How could
Later, Sister Helen and one of the parents come to an uneasy understanding, but their duet is hardly triumphant. There is no happy ending here. Everyone caught in this tragedy is sorry. Everyone is sad and lost.
No, I'm not so sure if anything will ever bring me peace. Nothing's gonna bring back my
deep
little
as the sea's your sorrow.
That's for certain. I'm stuck with who I am and how I feel day after day.
All is not gloom and doom, however, even inside Angola. Hagee and McNally lighten the mood with brief, utterly believable comic moments. The prison chaplain is a hard-bitten cynic. He tells Sister Helen she's in over her head. She's naive. She should go back to her little kiddies at the daycare center. There's no place for bleeding hearts like her on death row. Bo Gibson sings Father Grenville in this exchange with Sister Helen.
This is death row, sister. Why are you smiling?
I'm sorry. That sounded like a line from an old movie. Especially the sister part. This is death row, sister. That was a joke.
Sister Helen and Joseph share a few carefree moments, too. They discover they both adore Elvis Presley. She tells him her family took her to an Elvis concert in Las Vegas once. That night was one of the greatest moments of her life. Joseph tells her he wanted to be Elvis.
You saw the king. I never met anyone who saw the king before.
So you liked Elvis too?
More than liked. I wanted to be him. I wouldn't have wound up like this. That's for sure. Blue suede shoes.
On Great Hotel.
That's right, Mama.
You can hang on, Joseph.
And the jailhouse. The jailhouse.
This is the kind of scene that makes Dead Man Walking so compelling. We don't doubt for a minute that we're encountering real people. When Sister Helen and Joseph channel their inner Elvis, she is sitting right outside his cell. She has been with him all day. In a few hours, she will accompany him on the short walk to the death chamber. Think for a minute of the conversations we sometimes have when we're consumed with worry and dread. Waiting for a teenager to walk through the front door, perhaps, or sitting in a hospital waiting room. As with Sister Helen and Joseph, silly distractions can sometimes soothe the soul. Hagee's score has little of the jagged dissonance so typical of some contemporary opera, but it incorporates a myriad of styles. In the Elvis scene we've just heard, we are in rock and roll country. The seductive beat is set out by the honky-tonk piano and steadily chugging orchestra. In one of our earlier excerpts, Joseph sings about the pleasures of being down by the river with his girl. His melody is full of bluesy languor. Throughout Dead Man Walking, we'll hear hints of gospel, country, folk, and pop. Let's listen to one more very small sample of Hege's eclectic voice. It's particularly clever, I think. A guard has just told Joseph he's scheduled for execution. At midnight on August 4th, Joseph de Rocher will become the dead man walking of the opera's title. Those three words, by the way, are the warning that guards traditionally shout as a condemned man walks to the death chamber. Our example occurs near the start of a long aria for Joseph in Act II. Cocksure and bitter, he begins an extended rant. He rages at the smug piety of the system that's about to take his life. He may be a dead man walking, but he will be walking tall.
Dead man walking. Every time a brother takes that final walk. Dead man walking.
Did you catch the jazzy little fragment tossed out by the strings? Did it sound familiar? Here's a hint. When I hear that happy beat, I feel like dancing down the street. If you're a fan of movie musicals, you might know the source. It's from the Gotta Dance Broadway rhythm number from the 1952 hit movie, Singin' in the Rain. That toe-tapping little tune is, of course, a cruel irony in Dead Man Walking. It's embedded in an aria sung by a man locked in a cell with shackles on his hands and feet. His dancing days are over. The next walk he takes will be to the death chamber. Some call Dead Man Walking a political opera. They argue that, like Sister Helen Prejean's book, it takes a clear stand against the death penalty. But does it really? That's for every person in the audience to decide. Clearly, though, the opera takes a stand on one major issue. It all but forces us to put ourselves in the shoes of every character on stage. Our hearts go out to the parents mourning their dead children. We feel sorry for Mrs. de Rocher's hard life. We see the spiritual hunger beneath Joseph's hard exterior. And most of all, we feel the weight of Sister Helen's chosen mission. She is trying to bring comfort to badly broken people. She can't sleep. When she does sleep, she has terrible dreams. Her life was much easier working with children from the inner city. She was fulfilling her religious mission there, helping to alleviate suffering. Why did she have to take on the sorrows of a convicted murderer and rapist? These are difficult questions, and Dead Man Walking doesn't minimize them. I must warn you, the opera opens with a very graphic depiction of Joseph's brutal crime. Throughout the opera, the stage is filled with the sight of metal cells and the sound of clanging prison doors. Nothing is sugar-coated. There is a profound stillness at the center of the opera as well, however. Its focal point is Sister Helen. She states her beliefs firmly. She reminds both Joseph and the grieving parents of God's mercy. But she also listens, in the truest sense of the word, with an open heart and mind. She lets Mrs. de Rocher talk. She lets the grieving parents vent. She steps into the background during Joseph's last visit with his family. She enjoys his easy banter with his younger brothers. Hege wrote a spiritual for Dead Man Walking, titled He Will Gather Us Around. It pops up at various points in the opera.
He will gather us around. And by
To close, let me quote an exchange between Joseph and Sister Helen in Act One. She mentions that she's appealing to the governor for clemency. "Dream on, sister, dream on," Joseph says. Her response is lightning quick. "I don't dream, Joe. I pray and I work, and sometimes I fail. Sometimes I don't, but I pray and I work." Thank you and enjoy the opera.